You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
In the 80s yet? Hey, I just want to tell you a few things about what we're doing and what's going on here. This series, I Heart My Church, is not just a chance for us to boast about us. It's really so we can say, so I can say to all of us what MC3 is all about. And most of this stuff, if it is not repetition to you, you've probably been here probably in the last 6 months, you're new to MC3. If you haven't heard it, like if you've heard it like 5-6 times, you've probably been here from the beginning. And if you're tired of hearing it, that's too bad, because we're going to keep talking about it, because this is who we are. And one of the things that we, you know, Brian was sharing the announcements about a bunch of the stuff that we're doing to kick off this series, because we've been kind of like under the radar as MC3, and that's cool. We've got a lot of things we've needed to do and things that have been happening. But for this series, we really want to kind of say, hey, here we are to Mifflin County. Not in a way to say, hey, we're awesome, but just to say, hey, we've got a message that people need to hear. And we are obviously a very different church for this area. If you don't believe that, visit. And visit for the next few weeks. And if you don't like it here, that's cool. You know, if you want to go somewhere else, be like, hey, I visited and I really like that. That's cool. We are different on purpose. And so this next month, we're going to talk about all those differences and why we're doing what we're doing and who we are as a church. So I just want to kind of give you that heads up. And that's why we're doing all this promotional stuff, because we want to say, hey, there are people that need Jesus. There are people that need the hope that we are offering, not as a church, but through Jesus, through that one we just sung about, that beautiful one. And that's what it's all about. We're not here to take people from other churches either. Like, we don't want them. they can stay where they are, but we want people that are not. So that's what this series is all about. And next week I'll really jump into who we are as a church. But this week I want to talk about this idea, and the title is I Heart Family. Because one of the things that we are big on is family as a church. And I'll come back and talk more about this. But I wanted to share this, that there was a group of, actually it was a church, a bunch of church leaders got together and were kind of calculating their influence. They were calculating their influence as a church on the family and on students, on kids. And they did kind of, you know, looking at all the things that the church does and looking at, you know, you could consider our schedule in there. They basically came down with the understanding that the average church has about 40 hours with the average family. Because you figure there's vacation, there's sick time, but in general, MC3, we have about 40 hours to influence your kids. That's about all we've got. So 40. So that's about 40 hours, 40 pennies. Then they were looking at how much time does the family have to influence kids. This is in a given year. Excellent. Each penny represents an hour a year, just in case I failed to mention that. All right, so thank you guys. Why don't you give it up for the kids? I think they can still hear you. We've been planning that for months. Now they're like, what do we do with this? But yeah, so yeah, the average family, the average church has 40 hours a year to influence kids. And they were also looking at the average family, not counting school, not counting sleep, but with everything that was left over, the average family has 3,000 hours to influence kids over the course of a year. 40 hours versus 3,000 hours. So we'll come back to this a lot, but I just want to set that up now so that we can go with it. But here's the point that I want you to walk away with today. And that is that my church hearts to equip the family. My church hearts to equip the family. We as a church, MC3, are here for you. Now, that's sort of a weird circular if you know your theology. That's a weird circular reasoning because you are the church. So you are here for you. Or we are here for we. Or us. Or something like that. But my heart, church hearts to equip the family. So I want to talk about this idea of the family and what it means and why it's important and why we do what we do as a church and why that's a good thing for you and why you need to maybe put some things into gear and take advantage of what's going on here. So what I want to do is we're going to look at a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we've looked at this one before. And again, if you're tired of hearing this stuff, sorry. But it's a very important passage when it comes to family. And it's Israel's instructions in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So if you have your YouVersion app, you can go there. Again, Wi-Fi, you can grab it right now. We're going to Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you have paper, the lights are coming on so you can look at your paper. But I want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, let me give you a little bit of background of what's going on here. This book, the book of Deuteronomy, if you were here for the Word series last summer, Deuteronomy literally means second law. Deuteronomos, second word. And the situation here is that the Israelites had been rescued from Egypt through Moses and God, ultimately, and were getting ready to enter this land that had been promised to Abraham. And Justin talked about Abraham during the Hero series, but this land had been promised to Abraham and his descendants, to the Israelites. And the people were getting ready to go into the land, and they went up, and we've talked about this before, but they went to the border of the land and saw these huge armies inside, and they're like, there's no way we can take this. And Joshua, one of the Israelites, stood up and said, whoa, 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 if God is on our side, we can do this. And they're like, no, no, we can't do it. So God said, okay, fine. Here's the deal, Israelites. We're going to punish you. You're going to wander for 40 years in the desert to that first generation that didn't have faith that God could do it until they die off. So here we are, 40 years later, after the wandering, they are now getting ready to enter the land. But the parents' generation is dead. So this is a younger generation that's coming up that wasn't there. I mean, they might have been children at the time, but they weren't around necessarily for all the things that God was sharing with them at Mount Sinai and all the things that happened with the law back then. So this book is Moses basically getting the people together and saying, look, we're getting ready to go in now. It's been 40 years. And we want to kind of review everything that God has talked about. So that's why it is Deuteronomy, second law, second word. Moses is there telling the people, again, the same thing that you read, and literally some sections are word for word that you would find in the book of Exodus. But he's getting ready to tell them what's going on as they go into the land. So in verses 1 to 3, you've got the setup. And so here it is, verse 1 to 2. Moses is talking again, and he says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. He says, here, you know, I'm reviewing everything, what I just said. I'm reviewing things because you're getting ready to go into this land that you're about to possess. And he says, I'm telling you this so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God. And as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commandments, come back to that. There's too many words there. So he says, to you, your kids, and their kids. He says, we're doing this because what I'm sharing with you is going to last. If you do what I'm saying, it's not just going to make a difference for your life, but also for your kids and for their kids. And the idea here is not that it's just two generations and after that, sorry, they're screwed. He's basically saying, you know, it's for their generation. It's continuous. It goes on and on and on. So he says, I'm telling you this for your kids. He said, so that they fear the Lord your God. And this word fear is a Hebrew word, it's yareh. And it means this idea of fear and reverence and respect. And like, dude, basically he's saying, you guys need to understand who God is. And your kids need to understand who God is. They need to know how incredible he is, how amazing he is, how wonderful he is, how powerful he is, and what he can do. And so he says, so this is so that your children and their children, everybody, generations now, can fear God as long as they live by keeping all of his commands. And this word keeping, we're going to see it over and over as we go through this passage. It's not like so you have it in a bookmark in your Bible. It's like on your kitchen wall. Oh, I've got the law. The Ten Commandments are written there. It's not so that it showed up in a courthouse. It's none of that. That's not what keeping it means. Keeping it means here. It means so that you are guarding it. You are protecting it. You are, and we'll talk about this in a second, you are observing it. You're doing it. So, you know, while I'm not here to make any political statements, but I don't care where the Ten Commandments are or are not posted. What I care about, and I think what Moses cares about, what God cares about, is what we're doing in here with the Ten Commandments. And we'll just say for God's law. And so that's what he's saying. He says, so they keep the command and you will enjoy long life. God is saying, look, and this is the message that repeats over and over and over throughout Scripture. I'm telling you this stuff for your benefit. I'm giving you these rules and these instructions and these commands, and it goes through Jesus, and Jesus is sharing the things. And Paul, as he's writing most of the New Testament, you know, all of these things there, they're not just so God can be like, hi, I'm in charge, and you have to follow my rules. It's so it'll go well with us, so that we may live long. God's rules are there for a reason. And, you know, we've talked about this as parents. You give your kids rules for a reason. Don't touch the stove. There's a reason you say that. So that it may go well with your finger. Because if you don't, it won't go well with your finger. There's things that we say, you know, don't chew on the dog. So that it may go well with your face when he mauls you. I don't know. But that's the point. God is saying, hey, these rules are here for your kids and for their kids so that things will go well. And let me clarify this. He's not saying everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to always turn out the way you want. And there's going to be rainbows and unicorns and glitter everywhere. But he is saying that things might be hard, but dude, you've got something to live for. You've got something that matters. You've got something that counts if you're following these commands. So then it goes on and says, hear Israel and be careful to obey. Be careful to obey. Now, if you were here a couple weeks ago and we talked about David and the super collapse, we started with the classic, you know, wise men build his house upon the rock. And we knew that song, maybe if you went to church, grew up in church, and you sang it. And I pointed out that Jesus wasn't the point of the wise men building his house on the rock. Jesus wasn't the rock. And if you weren't here for that, we didn't record it. Sorry, so you just got to pretend that you know what I'm talking about. But the issue was, he says, the person that hears these commands and does them is like a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And so Jesus was saying that it's not about just hearing them. It's about doing them. And it's the same thing here. He says, hear Israel and be careful to obey. This word careful, it's that same word. Keep, protect, guard. Be careful to obey it. Don't just listen. Don't just show up in church and say, wow, I know a lot of things. I can quote that verse for you. He says, do it. Don't walk out of here feeling better, feeling sad, feeling depressed. Do something about it. Be careful to obey. And he goes on with that same idea. So that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. So that's the setup. Moses is saying, look, I'm about to share some stuff with you that you need to not just hear, but obey. And if you do it, it is going to make life good for you and your kids and their kids. And you're going to grow as families. You're going to grow as a people. You're going to be doing well in this land that God has promised you that you're about to get. So that's the setup here. Moses says, this is what we're about to talk about. And that's a big deal. So then we get to the lowdown, which none of these rhyme. Just saying. The lowdown. And so now he's getting into the nitty gritty. Now he's getting into, okay, all this stuff, I'm about to tell you stuff that's really important. It's going to be good for you, your family, your kids. And this is what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God. Well, I'll just stop there. This here, this passage, this section is what is called the Great Shema. It is one of the, if not the most important verses to Jewish people today. They recite this every time at synagogue and other important Jewish things, because I'm not Jewish and I don't know what they are, but I'm sure they do. But it's a very important passage. It's called the Great Shema because the first word here is Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, and I could go on. But it's Hebrew, and it's the most important passage to them that they share. So Moses is saying, look, he just set us up and said, this is about to be the most important thing that you're going to hear. And he says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He says, understand, dude, Yahweh, the true living God, he is the real deal. He's only one God. He's not these multiple gods that other people worship. He is for real. And then he goes on and says this thing you probably have never heard before. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love God with everything you've got. And again, the word God there, the word for Lord is Adonai. That's the Hebrew word. So if you want more, we don't make money on this, by the way, but if you want more about this passage, you can check out our Adonai series online, mc3church.org. It's about this. Love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, as Jesus repeated this commandment to the people in the New Testament. So that's what Adonai is about. It's about this. So if you want to explore that more, you're certainly welcome to listen to that online. But he says, you know, love God with everything that you've got. Moses is saying, I'm about to tell you something important, and here's what it is. God is incredible, and you need to love him with everything that you've got, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your heart. So then he goes on and says, these commandments that I give you today. Now, he's talking about more than just this, but Jesus even said, they said, you know, Jesus, what's the most important, you know, what's the most important commandment? Because the Jewish people had lots of rules and specific rules for reasons, and that's what Exodus, Leviticus mostly cover in there. And so they were like, they're trying to trick Jesus. And like, Jesus, what's the most important one? And Jesus says, love God with everything. Love God with everything. And so all these commandments that Moses is sharing in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, these things that I give you, but ultimately loving God with everything you got, because the rest of it falls under that heading. He says, these commandments are to be on your hearts. They're to be on your hearts. And this is huge. He is talking to the parents. He is, and you'll see why in a second. He's talking to the parents. He's talking to that generation, the oldest generation now, the leaders, the parents of the group, and says, listen, you need to love God. That's what hear means. Hear. Shema, listen up. Love God with everything you've got. And this that I'm telling you, it needs to be on your heart. It can't be just this quaint little thing that you can recite. It's not a happy story that you can tell. He says, this command, this idea of loving God with everything, it needs to infuse you. It needs to be who you are. That when people see you, they say, wow, that person loves God with everything they've got. And this isn't where I'm going, but are you known as that? Dude, I have had a week where I have not been known as that. I've been known as the anal retentive guy that's a detail freak. I've been known as the guy that's biting people's heads off. I'm known as the guy that doesn't have time for anybody right now. None of those things are really loving God with all that I am. But that's what Moses is saying. He says, look, love God with everything and make sure it's who you are. This is the important stuff. This is what matters. Make sure that it's on your hearts. And the interesting thing about this is, as we're going to go in just a moment, you have to have it before you can give it. Okay? You have to have it before you can give it. I can't give you something I don't have. Right now, I could give you 3,040 pennies because I have them. I couldn't give you 62 quarters because I don't have them. It's just not practical. So he says, make sure that these commands are on your hearts, parents. On your hearts, generation of leaders. He says, you guys, you're the one. It's your turn now. It's time to pull on your big boy pants because you're in charge. And make sure that these commands are on your hearts because you're getting ready to go into this land that God has promised your parents, and they didn't do it right. And he's talking to the Israelites. I'm not saying that to you guys. But he's talking to the Israelites. So they didn't do it right. They messed up. They turned away from God and had to wander till they died. He says, now's your chance. Make sure it's in you. Make sure it's who you are. That it's upon your hearts. But you have to have it before you can give it. And that's my question first before we go any further. As parents, as we talk about why family is so important, if you do not have a growing relationship with Christ, you're not going to be able to be the best parent you can be. And I know that sounds almost churchy and tacky and, oh, he's just saying that so he'll feel guilty and come to church all the time. No. But there's a reality there that you can't give something that you don't have. So my first just instruction, my first thought to you and me as parents as people that have, you know, whether your aunts and uncles, people that have younger kids looking up to them, make sure that God, that Jesus is on your hearts, that you have made that decision to be a Christ follower. Because that's huge. That's what it all comes back to. You've got to have it. And that's what he's saying. He says, look, these commands I'm giving you, they've got to be on your hearts. So you've got the setup, the lowdown, and now you've got the handoff. Football season just began yesterday. Isn't that exciting? Now, my brother is in town. I'm not going to point him out. You probably can tell who he is. But I just want to show him something that's really cool about Central Pennsylvania. We are! Isn't that cool? Anyway, the handoff. So now, Moses says, look, you've got this, and you've got it. Now, here's the next step. And he goes on in verse 7 and says this, impress them on your children. He says, love God with everything you've got. Make sure that is on your heart, and then impress them on your children. That is the very next thing he says. Because I'm sharing stuff that's going to help you and your kids and their kids. It's going to make your life long and good and healthy and what God wants. And he says the way to do that is to have it in you and then give it to them. Impress that on your children. And the word impress, the Hebrew word is sanar, or probably something that sounds more Hebrew than that. It's not senor, I know that. But it's to impress. It's just the word means to repeat. To go over and over and over again. It's kind of got this idea of like, I don't know, like if you ever played baseball as a kid out in the field, anybody ever do, or kickball? And you remember what did you do when you were making the bases? Did you ever have, if you didn't have real bases, if you weren't like fancy and had real bases? I don't know, maybe you guys didn't do this, but where I was, you would always do this, in the grass. And parents love that, you know. I would hate that if my kids did that in my yard right now. But you do that until you could go over and over and you would wear it away and then you've got a base. And of course, you know, then when you would actually play, you know, I was kind of on base. Well, if that base was accurate, I would be there. Well, my foot was touching the grass. But that's this idea of going over and over and over and impress, putting it in them. It's not just like, hey, you know, if there's some time, make sure you add it to your to-do list for the year. Put it on your bucket list. Hey, one day I'm going to talk about God to my kids. It's impress. It's going over. The root word means to repeat a second time. The Hebrew word, if you're going to, the root of that, if someone was in the Bible was talking about repeating something or doing it a second time, they would use the same word. This impress means to repeat, to go over, to engrave, to rub it in, to get it in. It's not an accidental thing. It's not a once and done kind of thing. It's a go over and over and over. So Moses says, look, people, you're about to go into this land. You need to love God with everything that you've got, and it's got to be in you. And then you need to impress it on your kids. But I wouldn't do it this way, because that's going to draw them away from Jesus. You better love God! Well, there's time for some of that, probably not that way, but we don't need to drive more people away from the church. That's what MC3 is all about. Hey, we've all been driven away at some point, so let's do it the right way here, or try to do it the right way. But he says, impress them on your children. Just get it into them. He says, this is the deal. Like, love God with everything. And the very next thing he says is, pass it on. Give it. Impress it. Engrave it. Go over and 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 wear it out on them. You know, and I'd love for my kids to say, man, their dad just loved Jesus and all he did was talk about him. And, I mean, wouldn't that be incredible? Like, if that's my legacy, right now my legacy is my dad sure has a lot of rules. hi, my daughter's here. What are you doing in here? You're older now. Oh, okay. I thought I was all alone with focus. Okay, yeah, so he goes on, he says, you know, impress them on your children. And this is how he says, let me give you some examples, is what he says. He says, talk about them. Talk about them. The Hebrew word here, and I'm not trying to be all smart because I know Hebrew or teach you Hebrew. There's a lot of smarter people in this room that know a lot more Hebrew than I do. I'm not that person. But I want you to get this. This word talk doesn't mean like, hey, how about that football game and God loves you? Or, Oh, did you see that movie? Wasn't my favorite part in that movie was when the guy shot the other guy, and then he stood back up. He's like, "No, you don't." And then I went to church, and okay, you know, like it's not this random. It's talk. It's communicate. It's speak. It's to use words. He says, "Look, if you want to impress this stuff onto your kids, you need to open your mouth." And let it come out. You need to talk about it. It's not just going to happen by accident. It's not one of these things where, you know, and I don't know, over the years as I work and talk with couples, or it's just a classic thing. Well, or with kids, you know, parents of kids. You know, have you told them that you love them? Oh, no, they know. No, they don't. Say it. It's the same concept here. You can't just be like, have you talked to them about your relationship with Christ? Have you talked with them about God, about Jesus? And we'll see in a moment. I don't want you to freak out yet. But it doesn't have to be that complicated. I don't want you to freak out later either. But it doesn't have to be that complicated. But you have to say something. You can't just assume or they know. You know, and the worst part is, what do they get by watching you? I try to be real in my relationship with Christ, in my relationship with others. I am not perfect. I make mistakes. And the thing about that, especially as a parent, it's so awkward. The thing about that, especially as a parent, is that I try to let my kids know when I'm wrong and say, you know what? I was wrong about that. And let them know that those are words. Hey, that is not what Jesus would want me to do. And that kind of breaks down some of that parent weirdness of, oh, well, that's just the way it is, and God says, or dad says good things about God, but yet he doesn't live it out. So there's this whole thing, there's communication that is involved here, and that's what this is. He says, talk about it, use words, and he has four areas. He says, when you sit at home, he says, when you're at home, sitting around, which is a lot of time, 3,000 hours, you're with your kids to influence them. He says, talk about it when you're at home. Do you talk about God, about your relationship with Christ, about Jesus, about what they learned? And we'll come to that in a second. About what they learned in the church, in Ignition. He says, talk about them when you walk along the road. And the word there is journey. When you're on the journey. I know none of you ever go anywhere with your kids. But if that happened to be the case, if you had to drive them somewhere at some point, he says, talk about them then. You're in the car. You've got a captive audience. Most cars do not have Wi-Fi even. So that even breaks down some of that. He says, when you're going somewhere, talk with your kids. You're in the vehicle together. Talk about it. It's a great time. It's when you lie down. It's another opportunity. Everybody has to sleep at some point. Your kids have to sleep. He says, when they're going to bed, talk about that. He's just trying to give reminders. Hey, when you're at home, think about it. Talk about God. When you're going somewhere, talk about God. And when you're going to bed, when they're going to bed, that's a great opportunity. Talk about it when you get up. You know, a lot of times there's a scramble in the morning, but, well, literally sometimes if you scramble eggs. But there's a lot of chaos in the morning. And he says, you know, that's another time, you know, just even as you're going in and out of the door, you have breakfast together. He says, basically, talk about it. Talk about the fact that you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that it's been impressed, that it's in you, and now you need to impress it on your kids. And he says, here's a way to do it. Talk about it. Talk about it when you're at home. Talk about it when you're going somewhere. Talk about him when you're going to bed. Talk about him when you're waking up. The second thing he says, okay, so talk about it is one thing. Then he says the next thing, he says, tie them as symbols. Tie them as symbols on your heads and bind them on your foreheads. Now, the Pharisees in Jesus' time, they were the Jewish legalists. They were the guys that followed the law word for word for word and didn't really care about the heart part that Moses talked about. They didn't care about that. They cared about the outward and doing the important looking. They wanted to look good. But Jesus even said, you know, you're like whitewashed tombs. The outsides are clean, but inside there's death and decay. And the Pharisees, they said, well, we're going to be really spiritual. So they made things called phylacteries, which comes from that root there of that statement, this tie them as symbols. And a phylactery was a box that they would actually take pieces of the Old Testament law, write them on paper, roll them up, and put them in these boxes. And they would put them on their wrists. And they would put them on their foreheads. And the really spiritual people had really big boxes. And I'm not kidding. Jesus even talks to them about this. He says, you know, your phylacteries are wide and their tassels were long. And he says, but there's nothing but death in you. You're not following me the way you're supposed to. And so they took it as literal. Like, hey, and if we carry this around, then we're going to be extra good. You know, maybe you don't have a phylactery tied to you, but maybe as people walk into your house, you have an open Bible on the table with a fancy bookmark. Whoa, you are spiritual. I am not worthy. That's not what he's saying. You know, and sometimes we get caught up in that. I mean, now, one of the cool things about the technological revolution is that when I was growing up in youth group, it was all about what kind of Bible and Bible cover you had. And dude, if you had a Bible cover that was like really cool and like a zipper maybe, and you could put stuff in it, and your Bible was big, you know, there was some a little more spiritual than the guy that had the pocket New Testament. Come on. You know the person that had the little Gideon's New Testament was nowhere near as spiritual as the guy that had the big Bible with the cover. If you didn't grow up in church world, that's cool, but those were the stupid things that we used to do. But the word doesn't mean to be legalist. He says make symbols. The word means memorial or a monument. And if you go around town, if you go around anywhere, there are lots of monuments and memorials. It doesn't mean there's something special about that particular stone or that statue or that sign or whatever, but it's a way to remind people that something significant happened. And that's what he says. He says, you know, when you start talking, when it comes to impressing the love of God onto your kids, he says, make monuments. Make reminders. You know, if you guys had a great time together doing something spiritual, or, you know, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but if you had a really cool time with your ATU pack or something, and you were like, we don't want to forget that, make a monument. Put it on a bulletin board. Maybe there's a little thing you stick to a bulletin board and say, hey, remember that time we did that? That picture? And we actually said at one point, why don't you take a bunch of stones and pile them up in a container as a reminder. Did I teach this at one point? I think I did. but that's the idea. It's like, you know, as parents, as you're trying to impress this upon your kids, have reminders, have fun times where you're like, hey, remember that cool thing? Yeah. If your kid decides to be a Christ follower, next week we're going to have another baptism. Let me just say this, and this is not to boast in us, but wow, what God is doing. By the end of the next baptism, in just a little bit over a year, we will have baptized 24 people. That's exciting. And that's not to say, wow, look at our numbers. Like, because I just was going through the list. I'm like, holy cow, we baptized a lot of people. Holy cow, a lot of people are making decisions to follow Jesus. And so baptism is a reminder. You know, at some point we give them DVDs to remind them of that moment. And we have a video made, but that's on purpose. It's a reminder to say, hey, this is a significant occasion. And so if you're with your kids and they make a decision to follow Jesus, make a monument, make a symbol, make a reminder there. And that's his whole idea, because this is a big deal. He says, do that. The third thing he goes on and says, then write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. If you are kids in the room, I probably wouldn't do that without parents' permission first. Just write in, you know, on the top of the house or on the door frames and things like that. But the point was there is that, you know, write these things down. Put them in places that are prominent. If there's something that your family has decided that, hey, this is significant for us, or this verse matters to us, or this is something we need, stick it on a wall. It's okay to get a plaque that says, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. As long as you think that that's true, and you do that, and you attempt to do that. Now, if you put it up and say, look, we have a sign, so we're good, then you've kind of gone back into this whole phylactery symbol thing that's not the right way to do it. But he says, write these things down. Make them a big deal. One of the things that when I was working with students, I would love to make little reminders. And I still give them. You guys got a train a couple weeks ago. That was a symbol. That was a reminder that, hey, as people, we need to make sure that we're being connected to the right people. That we're not being influenced by people that we shouldn't be. That we're not the train following an engine that's going in the wrong direction. There's a reason I give that stuff out. It's because they're reminders. They're symbols. They're things you can write down. If there's a verse that means something to your family, write it on a post-it note. Stick it somewhere. Like, be active about this. Be proactive. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you're doing all sorts of stuff. Make symbols. Write them. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, make sure that they go to church every Sunday. It doesn't say, make sure you have them in 6 different VBSs in one summer. It doesn't say, make sure that they go to Christian school. or make sure that they watch enough VeggieTales, or that you buy them a Bible. It doesn't say any of that stuff. It says, as parents, it is your job to impress these on the kids. It is not the church's job. It is not Phil Vischer and VeggieTales Incorporated. It is not your Christian school, your local Christian school. It's not my job to impress them on your kids. It's not those teachers' jobs to impress them on your kids. It is your job to impress them on your children. So those are the instructions that Moses gives. He says, look, this is really important. You're about to go somewhere you've never been. You're about to do some incredible things. You're about to see God work in amazing ways. But before we go in, let's get this straight. Love God with everything you've got. And if you want this to matter, and if you want it to last, impress them on your children. Pass it on. Make sure you've got it and that you can pass it on. That's what he's telling them to do. Because God has given parents the responsibility to disciple their children, to raise their children to follow Jesus, to teach them about God. It does not, and this is the Old Testament, but the New Testament reinforces this idea that when the church was established after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, it doesn't say anything about make sure the kids come to church enough. It doesn't say that. It's your job. It's not our job. It's not the church's job. It's not any other church's job. No matter how much they tell you it is your job as parents. So first of all, breathe deeply now, because that's kind of intense. It should be. If it's not, think about it a little bit longer. That is your job with working of God. I don't want to miss that part at all. But it is your job as parents to disciple your kids. No matter whether you've been a Christ follower for like 10 minutes, for 400 years. That's impressive if you have kids at that age. So here's the point that I want you to get. Knowing all that, knowing that it is your job, I want you to know that your church, my church, hearts to equip the family. It is not our job. It is your job to raise the church, or to raise the kids, to disciple them. And we, as a church, are very intentional, because we want to come alongside you and help you do your job. We want to give you the equipment. We want to give you the tools so you can do what God has called you to do. We don't want to take over for you. We try very hard not to do that, and we'll talk about this in a second. But it is your job, and so we want to come alongside of you. We want to equip you to do what God has called you to do. We want to give you every possible chance so that you can succeed in impressing Jesus on your children. And again, that word is called discipleship. That's a fancy word, but we'll talk about that next week. But we want to help you. And it comes back to this. I mean, God must have known something when he said this. He must have understood that the church, if they only have 40 hours, which is just nothing. That's not 40, but 40 hours is nothing in the course of a year. But 3,000 hours? Holy cow, that makes a difference. And so we want to come alongside of you. At MC3, we believe, and listen to this, and I want you to hear me say this to you guys. And sometimes people are like, well, why don't we do that? Here's why. We believe that what happens at home is, ready for it, more important than what happens at church. When it comes to discipling your kids, we believe that it's more important that what you do with your 3,000 hours is way more important than what we do with our 40. So we want to use our 40 to help you with your 3,000. And that's what it's all about. We want to equip the family. So here's what it looks like in MC3 family. There's a reason we don't call it children's ministry. Because we're not ministering to the children. We are helping the family. MC3 family is on purpose. So here's what we got. First of all, we have ignition. And if you don't know what these things are, now you do. Just get rid of ignition for a second. Because I want to say this. What I'm about to share here is a lot of work. The things that we do are a lot of work. We create almost everything from scratch. And we don't do that because we're like, oh, I got too much time on my hands. What am I going to do? We do that because we want to be very intentional about helping you as parents reach your kids, to disciple your kids. And so I want you to understand a few things. First of all, there is a lot of time that goes into this. And Michelle Snook, who is here, and I'm making her stand up right now. Stand up, Michelle. She is in charge of this whole thing. She puts in hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And dude, I don't think the clock matters to me as much as her heart and her love for the kids and love for your kids and love to help you. She puts in tons of time for that. And then you've got a few other people. Her husband, Scott, and then Justin and Steph Beamer. Stand up. Stand up! And you'll see a little bit more of them in a little bit. But the four of them put in so much time and work. They put up with me, with what we have to do. Applaud yourself. They're like, yay, I managed Sean this year. There's a lot of work that goes into it. And there's a whole bunch of people that are a part of this. So if you are in this room, and obviously if you're in this room, you're not wearing an Ignition t-shirt. That's because you're working in the back right now. So there's a lot of people back there that you can thank. But if you help in the nursery, if you help with Ignition preschool, if you help with the Ignition older kids, if you're a part of the creative team that helps put all this stuff together, if you help with ATU or ATU packs, would any of you, if you're part of that, stand up? Ignition worship, ATU, creative team. Yeah, oh yeah, you do that too? All right, thank these people. These people are not doing it. They probably hope they enjoy doing what they're doing, but it's because of you. They're your partners. We're on the same team. We're equipping you to do what we do. So let's kind of go through what we do. First of all, we've got Ignition. Ignition is right now for kids through fourth grade, and we are working towards, and I honestly hope by the end of this year, to have something MC3 student that fits into MC3 family. That's been the challenge, I'll be honest. That's why you haven't seen anything, which is a youth ministry, which we're not going to call it. But the reason we don't have that is because it has to fit, and I'm not sure how that's going to work yet. But we're working towards that. We want student ministry to fit with MC3 family and not compete. But Ignition is for kids through fourth grade, and after fifth grade, you know, you're in here, and so you have to put up with me. But what goes on back there, and I don't know if you understand this, but in the course of a month, Greg and Wilson, the characters that work here at the garage, at Wilson's Garage, teach your kids the same thing that you're learning in here, except for February. We didn't do it that month. And if you don't know what February series was, then I'll tell you some other time because my daughter's here. but they're teaching, and here's the way it works, and I want you to get this idea. We don't use curriculum. We don't follow an order. There's nothing. We get together a couple months ahead of time, and I say, hey, I think this is what God is leading me to teach this month. Here's what the series is called. Here's where I'm going with it. And we sit in this meeting for a couple hours, and I say, go. Make it, you know, depending on where you are, make it relevant to the group that you're working with. So they make that relevant for the preschool kids. They make videos for the older kids. And Greg and Wilson teach them that. The teachers that are in there have things that they do, object lessons, because we want to get your kids to walk out of that room knowing the point. So your kids are going to leave today knowing that my church hearts to equip the family. That's what they're learning back there, but they're learning it in a kid-friendly way, in a fun way, and that takes a lot of time and a lot of work to put together. We are doing that because, again, we have no extra time on our... We have lots of extra time on hands. We're trying to waste time. No, that's not true. We are doing that because we want you to be able to talk about it when you sit along the road, when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you go down, when you lie down at night, when you wake up in the morning. Because now there's no question going, I wonder what they learned today. Oh, you learned about Jehoshaphat? Who the Jehoshaphat is Jehoshaphat? You know, like, there's no question about that. You can say, oh, what'd you talk about today? You're riding home from church. What'd you talk about today? I don't remember. It was something about family. Oh, was it about Deuteronomy? Oh, yeah, I think it was. That was a really long... And we are trying to set it up on purpose so that you don't need to wonder. You don't need to be a Bible scholar or a Hebrew scholar or any of that to have to teach, to have to have dialogue with your kids. We're setting it up for you so that you don't have to guess, because I'm teaching you right now what they're learning. So that you can have those conversations, so that you can engage them in dialogue, so that you can talk about that. That is why we do it that way. That is on purpose. That is intentional. And like I said, and I'm not trying to do a pity party or whine. It's a lot of work, and we want you to take advantage of it. Because God has given you the responsibility to disciple your kids, not us as a church. So don't walk out of here saying, oh, that's dumb, I'm not going to follow that. That's fine, but it's not my problem. You're the one that's going to have to answer for your kids. So we do Ignition. And And that's why we do that. Another thing we do is All Tuned Up. And today All Tuned Up is back. We take a couple months off because they need a break. We all need a break over the summer. But All Tuned Up is back. And the reason we do All Tuned Up is that we want you as parents and your kids together to be able to have fun around Jesus. To have a good time about Jesus. Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. And so, you know, I mean, we could say all the kids must sit with their adult parents and listen to Sean. I don't think I'm that bad. And we did that last month to give the teachers a break. But we want to make it not, you know, we don't want to invite kids to an adult worship time. We want to invite adults to a kid worship time. And that's what All Tuned Up is about. And then we go through Greg and Wilson and the team. Steph puts us all together in making it so that you know now, by the end of this day, if you stay for All Tuned Up, you're not even going to know just what today is. You're going to know what the rest of the month is going to be. So you can plan ahead and know, okay, I know that we're going to be talking about that in 2 weeks. Maybe that's a great way I could, maybe there's a monument, a symbol that I could make ahead of time, or we could plan something because I know in 2 more weeks from now, we're going to talk about worship. Maybe we plan a day trip as a family, an afternoon. Hey guys, let's go somewhere and worship. Because we want to give you the tools that you need. We want to equip you so that you know this is where we're going. This is what we're doing. This is what's coming up. There's no reason to keep it secret. There's no reason to blindside you. We want to help you. We don't want you to have to guess or wonder. So All Tuned Up is for that. We want it to be a fun time. We want you and your kids to enjoy it together. And let me just say this, parents. If you're not having fun next to your kids, because you're like, I'm an adult. This is not my thing. Your kids are going to be like, oh, I guess this isn't fun. Have fun. Clap. Dance. Be goofy. It's okay. You know, if you're not goofy, you know, at least like tap your foot. All right, Dad's tapping his foot. That's a big step. You know, I mean, but the whole point is to have a good time together and be able to just engage around what we're talking about. That's what All Tuned Up is for. We have a meal here, so there's no excuses. Like, oh, well, we weren't going to eat. No, we'll feed you. It's done by 1 o'clock, so you can get out at a certain time. Just about enough time to catch football. But take advantage of it. Be here. Be a part of it. Invite people to this. This is something that is not happening in many churches around the country. And I don't say this arrogantly, but this is an opportunity you don't want to miss, is what I'm getting at. Does that make sense? I'm not saying we're better than everybody else or any of that, but this is a chance to say, hey, I want to take advantage of this stuff. I want to be able to be a better parent. I want to be equipped to do what God has called me to do. So we've got All Tuned Up. The next thing is the ATU packs. At All Tuned Up, you leave here and you walk out of that door with a little Happy Meal-looking box that says MC3 Family on it that has 4 weeks of activities for you to do. Just 4 activities. There aren't more than that. But they are tied directly in, again, to the same thing, to the point. And so each activity is going to give you for this week's activity, it's going to be My Church, Hearts to Equip the Family. And so you're going to have something to do as a family together around that topic. We're trying to intentionally give you the tools. We're not even asking you to make it up. We'll give it to you. Take your pack home. Do it. We had a big prize. You could win a movie pack. Last year was to a movie theater, all tickets for the family, and then a whole bunch of snacks and everything at the concession stand. We didn't do that. Yeah, see? Did you enjoy that? Okay. They want it. We didn't do that just because we're like, hey, how can we give stuff away? We did that so that we could encourage you, do these packs. They're not just fun. They're important for your discipleship of your kids. Do you get it? I don't want you to miss these things. And a lot of them, I know we're busy. I don't give a crap if you're busy. Because God hasn't said, oh, wait, you're off the hook. You don't have to disciple your kids because you're busy. He says it's your responsibility to disciple your kids. And I'm not saying you have to use our stuff. I'm not saying that's not what I'm getting at. But I'm saying if you're too busy to take time once a week, just once a week to do something with your kids around a spiritual topic, you need to check yourself. You need to fix it. There goes the lights. That's what the ATU packs are all about. They're symbols that you have as reminders. And then the last thing that we have at MC3 Family is nothing else. See, it's nothing else is nothing else. That's like, ooh. there's nothing else there. Because we don't do anything else on purpose. We don't have a VBS. People have said, why don't you put time into a VBS? Why don't you do that? Because it costs time and it costs money. And we don't want to give time. We don't want to put time and money and effort into something that doesn't help parents. We are doing this on purpose. We don't have Wednesday night clubs and things like that. That's on purpose. Because we are not the ones responsible for to disciple your kids. You are. That gives you a chance. And as we talk about in 4 weeks, that gives you a chance to be in the community, to be in among people so that you can care for them, so that you can talk with them, so you can build relationships with people outside of the church. That's on purpose. There's a reason we don't do more than that. And a lot of times the people are like, well, what am I going to do with my kids now? Talk with them. Spend time with them. Disciple them. We're not a daycare and I don't ever want to be. Like, there's nothing wrong with daycare, but I'm just saying that's not what the church is. We're here to help you. It's your job to disciple your kids. So that's why there's nothing else. Now, there is nothing else. That's like a psychological, like, think about that. But that's what we do, and that's why we do it. Does that make sense? And if this is new, I hope it makes sense to the people in charge, and they're like, what? That's not why we do that. But that's the point. Don't waste this opportunity. Take advantage of it. Again, and I'm not saying this because I'm copping out and I don't want to do anything. I don't care or anything like that. But it's because God has given you responsibility. I am responsible for my children and their discipleship just as much as you are for yours. That's what God has called us to do. That's what God was telling Moses to the people. You've got 3,000 hours with them when they're not sleeping, when they're not at school. Use it. So here's what I want to do. I want to say this, as Rob Schneider would say in a wonderfully eloquent way, you can do it! You can do it! You can! God has given us this huge responsibility, yes, but I think you can do it. I believe in you. God believes in you, which is probably better than me, just a little bit, I'm just saying. But God believes in you. You can do this. And here's what I want you to get. He has given you the responsibility. And we as a church, we believe in you. We think you can do it. And I don't care if you're like, well, I've only been coming to church for like 3 weeks. I don't care. God didn't say, oh, well, then you're off the hook. God didn't say, oh, well, sorry, you're a loser. No chance of that one. No, we say you can do this. If you're young in your relationship with Christ, if you don't even have a relationship with Christ, if you've been doing it for 400 years and you think you're caught in the same way of doing it and you can't change, I'm saying you can because you can do this. You can do it. The first thing I want to tell you is to start somewhere. Start somewhere. Just pick something. What is the thing that you're going to do? Okay, you haven't been doing that. Start somewhere. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't think that you have to plan a Wednesday night prayer meeting with your kids. Okay, which one of you is going to play the guitar? But I don't even dare, can barely talk. I don't care. No, you don't have to do that. You don't have to be able to do all sorts of fancy preaching, teaching, anything like that. Just start somewhere. I'd be willing to bet that if your kid came up to you and said, you know, Mommy, Daddy, I've got a headache, you probably wouldn't say, well, sorry, kid, I'm not a doctor. You're on your own. No, you would probably say, well, let's see. Oh, your head is kind of hot. Let's take your temperature. Bend over. No. Let's take your temperature. Now there's awesome things like, doop. I found one of those forehead thermometers the other day. You remember those things? You're like, oh, yeah, you're like 644. Oh, now you're nothing. Like, they never worked anymore. Anyway, but you would say, here, oh, do you need some Tylenol? Let me give you some medicine. Why don't you lay down? You would do that. You wouldn't say, I'm not a doctor. I can't help you. Sorry. There is no MD after my name. You wouldn't do that. If your kid said, you know, Dad, can you help me with my math? I'm not a teacher, son. I can't help you with anything. You would say, no, sure. I would hope. You know, you're not going to turn them down because you're not officially titled as that role. You're going to do what you can. And that's what I want to tell you as parents. You know, you don't have to be like, well, I'm not a pastor. I don't care. You're a parent. Start somewhere. Do what you can. Pick something. Do it. You know, and let me just say this. If you think, well, I can't do this, just pretend you stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. And then you'll be good to go, okay? Well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. But I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. So come on, kids, let's look at the Bible. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's impress this upon you. So just pretend that, okay? Holiday Inn Express, you're good to go. The second thing I want to say is start small. If you have never prayed with your kids, aside from God is good, God is great, thank you for the food we ate, or that's not how it goes. the other way. You know, if that's all you've got, and you're like, but I don't know if I could pray, you know, a four-hour eloquent prayer with my hands raised to the heavens and the skies part, and the, you know, don't pray that. Don't be like, oh, but I don't know all those words with these's and thou's. You don't need to be these and thou's and thine's. That sounds really weird anyway, because he starts talking like this. You don't need to talk like this. Just start somewhere. If you listen to this. Oh, Kirk's not here. Dude, that's right. He's away this weekend. I need some math help here in a second. But if you never prayed with your kids, okay, I'm just picking prayer as an opportunity here. If you've never prayed with your kids, zero, okay? That's zero. And again, I'm not talking dinner time. I don't think that really counts. But that's, you know, but maybe that's where you start, so I don't want to get on that case. But if you have never prayed with your kids, right? And then let's just be crazy here. Let's say you started praying with your kids for 30 seconds in the course of a year. Just 30 seconds. And you have 3,000 hours with your kids. So say every 30 seconds in 1 hour, and do the math there real quick, and it sounds like a lot of time. Somebody help me out here. 30 seconds times, my brother's here. He's really smart. He's got like 8 degrees in mathology. 3 hours. Wow. 30 seconds equals 3 hours, I think. Is that right? We good in that? If it's not, then it's whoever said that in the back's fault. But you know what I'm saying? It's just a little step. 30 seconds is nothing. But you add it up and it becomes something. And I want you to start small. Don't feel like you can't do anything super awesome and fancy. You don't have to have a 4-point outline that rhymes. You know, you don't have to have any of that. I love him. Just say, hey, guys, I read this in the Bible. You know, you probably can read. If you can't, YouVersion, actually, you can push play and it'll read it for you. Like, just start small. Don't worry about it being all super fancy. Start small, because 30 seconds with your kids is more than nothing. 3 minutes talking about Jesus once a week using an ATU pack, even if that's all that you do, that's 3 minutes more than nothing. That's an influence. I mean, that is like 300 times, right? 3 minutes? No, 60. I don't know. It's a lot more than nothing. And that's important. So start small. And that's okay. And then the third thing is start. Start. Do it. You can do it. We believe you can do it. Use the tools that we've given you. Take advantage of them. Use them for all that they're worth. I would love for you guys to come back, and Kara's not in here right now, but I'd love for you to come back and say, you know what? The ATU packs, they're just not enough. Can we have more Jesus in them? Can we have more time with our kids? And I would love to be able to do that rather than, oh, look at that. We have tons of them left over because no one really took them. And I'm not trying to guilt trip you like we spent money on those and you're wasting our money. You're wasting the Lord's money. I'm just saying this is what God has given you the responsibility to do. Do it. Take advantage of it. Your job is to disciple your kids. And my church, Hearts, to equip the family. We're here to help you do it. That's what God wants